everybody. Welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 429. What are you doing?
Sorry.
Oh, Mike shows up and trashes the place. Oh, it's because you're all hopped up.
I am hopped up.
Great. Because he has essential aminos and BCAAs and electrolytes. Oh, adrenaline shock. Oh, you're going to be a bundle of energy tonight. I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are
Brandon,
Dave,
Pat,
Mike,
Spencer.
I expect more energy out of that.
Mike!
There you go. Thank you. Nice. So
I'll pull his shirt off over his head.
It was just funny. Mike and Spencer were showing pictures of things on their phones to one another, and I'm like, hey, Chris Evans, slow down.
So, it's a private moment. So,
yes, exactly. Yeah.
Yes. So poor Chris Evans, but he handled it well, so to speak. So DC Fandom, they did the second one, which was going to be more, you know, not as much movie talk and
it
stuff.
It was chock full of not comic book
stuff. It was chock full of nothing, yeah. Yeah, there was no comic book talk, so that was less than exciting.
Well, the only thing that came out of that was G5 was confirmed dead, right?
Again, yes.
Yeah.
That was already known?
I thought it was.
I don't know if it was.
I thought it was speculation
then
until.
Then he re-announced it.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was looking forward to the news out of that because I was trying to watch. It's like there wasn't a steady stream. It was a bunch of different things you had to click on, but I'm doing it on the phone and using the internet via the Fire Stick is not exactly the easiest thing. But
you think they'd at least get on there and like talk about a current book.
Something.
Like, talk about metal.
Yeah.
Like.
Yep.
You still got, you know.
Yeah, so we're kind of feeling as we're the ugly stepchild of DC right now as the comic division, which is scary.
I think it's worse than that.
Yeah, because the stepchild's at least, like,
recognized.
They're in the house.
Yeah, you're in the house.
They're stuck doing chores, but, you know.
Knocking on the door.
So, is there any other news? I know DC announced a couple books, but, like, a new Batman Black and White.
With the winter thing,
they finally.
Endless winter.
Batman, Catwoman.
Oh, that's right. Yes, finally got scheduled for December.
And they're what, $4.99 a piece? $5.99?
Well, $4.99.
They're black, right?
Yeah, they're black label. Yeah.
So that's normal.
So they're gonna be like oversized.
I don't think they're gonna be oversized. I'm not 100%, but I don't think so. And that was about it, really, as far as announcements. Some digital stuff. But
that is the future of comics.
They seem to think so. I just don't see it, but okay.
Mark Waid's coming back somewhere.
He's doing a story in one of the death metal one-shot books. Okay. So there's rumors that he's coming back to DC, but he hasn't said anything.
Well, I've Ant-Man news.
Ant-Man news.
Kang the Conqueror might be an Ant-Man movie.
I saw that. Yeah, and it's the guy from Lovecraft Country is going to move and cast to play him.
Oh, I thought even Kang the Conqueror was on Lovecraft Country. I was like, I need to watch this show. That'd make it so much better.
That crossover.
But the speculation is that Wade's going to do Superman, and Bendis is going to do JLA. Or Justice League, at least.
Okay.
That's better than doing Batman.
Yeah.
At this point, do we want him doing anything?
I think, like, if he was doing, like, a Black Label, whatever, just go do something...
On his own.
On his own that's in his style.
Yeah.
Like...
Because I definitely don't think he hit it out of the park like they thought he was
going to. Yeah.
I just don't think he's, like... where mainstream comics are right now. You know, a decade behind that.
Yeah. No, there's nothing wrong with doing outside continuity type. You know, look at what Sean Gordon Murphy did with The White Knight.
Well, I think one of the problems was giving him both Superman books.
Yeah.
Give him one so that, you know, if you didn't like him, you could try the other. But if you're not a Bendis fan, you're not going to read either.
Did they give him both at the same time?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I think Rogel's are.
Was stupid.
It was stupid.
Was it ever resolved? Do we know who he was?
I don't know. I dropped it. I got, like...
Yeah, I don't think it was ever resolved.
And it was never, like, the front of the issues, at least while I was reading it. It was always like a secondary thing going on. It's like, no, focus on the story.
I don't know if it was ever revealed. I'm sure Jermaine's sitting there listening, screaming, yes, it was. But it's not to my knowledge was it ever revealed.
I don't picture somebody who calls himself Ward Retail to be that high-pitched. That's not very regal.
No, just, you know what I mean. Oh,
God.
Dang. So, any other new... Oh, I guess we could do questions.
Questions?
I do have a Colin rant, so... But you guys have all been prepared on it.
I saw that there's going to be a new artist for X-Men. I don't know who it is, but just what's-his-face is leaving. Is that after this issue or the next issue or something like that?
Sorry, keep talking. Somebody asked how Iron Man did today, but it was at like 11:45. I'm like, I've been open for 45 minutes. I can't tell you. I got the last one. You got the last one?
At least over here. There might be some.
Oh, good. Yeah, there were a ton of variants.
There might be a ton of variants. But
there's a new Iron Man number one?
Yeah.
Yeah, Christopher Cantwell.
Is it actually Tony Stark?
It's got Alex Ross covers, like the way Captain America was.
Yeah.
So, like, even if it's trash, like, people are going to buy it just because of those covers.
Right, and I ordered like 15 of that cover, and there were a bunch. There were like 8 different covers. Okay, so waiting for Tim to get back to me on that. And then the only other question, Zach asked, what do you think would get you more money in the long run? An explosion of manga sales at the cost of all your other trade paperback or hardcovers, or an explosion of Marvel and DC at the cost of everything else? My problem with manga is I just don't know it. There's too much of it. It's not my thing. And,
but it's a very segmented audience. It's not a broad audience.
Right. And it's just there's so much of it. And one book will be hot at a time. And the benefit for a store like Barnes & Noble or even Amazon is they can send back what doesn't sell. Where when I buy something, it's mine forever. Mm-hmm. And the problem when you're looking at manga that is $10, $12, $15 a piece and it's an 80-part thing... That's a lot of money tied up.
Yeah.
And it's just, like I said, again, it's something I don't know. Not that I wouldn't like it or wouldn't do well with it. There's a lot of books I sell that I don't read, but that's just an entire category. I just don't.
But you'd be able to order, like, if because like how Dark Horse has them, you'd be able to order them, like, if anybody came.
If somebody wanted them, yes, I could certainly order it. But I don't see manga
in a stock on the shelf. Yeah. Or, you know, it's not going to be an impulse buy for someone.
No, and I do get people asking about it, but they always want that one volume of that one series. And
Did you have volume number six?
No, I've tried it a couple times. When I first opened, some people told me what I needed to have, so I carried those, and they never sold. And I realized after I had like 6 volumes of each, I'm like, this is just throwing money away at this point. And then at the Comics Forum, sometimes they do these little package deals, like their best sellers. Here's a selection of our best sellers at a big discount. I'd order those, and some would sell, but for the most part, they wouldn't. So I've tried. It's just I don't know it. It's like I carried miniatures, and that was my problem with games. I just didn't know them to know to have the right stuff. Yeah. Like I know stuff like My Hero Academia is blowing up and One Punch Man. I'm like, okay, but if I get those in, people already have those. And then they're looking for the next thing. And I don't know enough to get in front to know what's going to be the next hot thing. Yeah. So, if Marvel and DC took over, great. I just don't see it happening. Pricing. We can talk about that. There was a book I was really looking forward to that came out today that Mike bought called Kent State by Durf Backderf. Durf wrote the My Friend Dahmer book that sold great. I only ordered it because of his name and the title. And I've sold tons of it. So Mike's showing it to us, but it's a large, normal-sized hardcover.
It's like a novel.
It's probably about the size of 4 or 5 trades. Mm-hmm. It's very thick. It is black and white, but it's also $25. Now, if Marvel came out with that book,
$50.
That would be at least $50, probably $75. Yeah. So it's just I was impressed by this just by reading about it, where he interviewed the families of the victims. He interviewed the National Guard people. He interviewed other people at the school. So he really went in depth about this.
He did his research.
He did his research, and it's, you know, all drawn. It's a complete graphic novel. It's all drawn. It's not text. And I was just impressed by the price. Slaughterhouse 5 came out today. Well, he's answering my question.
That was just breaking news that... Breaking news, Slaughterhouse 5 came out today.
Three copies.
Stop the presses.
Yeah. Hey, high school kids, come.
Okay.
Don't read the book.
But I mean, you're still... It's reading the book. It's not like reading...
Cliff's notes.
You're reading, you know, the story. All the words are there, you know.
Right.
Instead of being descriptive, it's drawn. But, hey, if we can get them reading.
Slaughterhouse 5 is, to me, it's just a book that I like. You read when you're in, like, high school.
Right.
So.
Well, for me, it was funny because that was the first book I read during quarantine. Because I had read a Neil Gaiman shared a review of it. And I read the review. And I want to say it was by Salman Rushdie, but it might not be. And it was just fascinating. Talking about it, because the catchphrase in Slaughterhouse 5 is "As so it goes," just basically saying, "What are you going to do?" You know, that's life. That, and this guy was kind of analyzing that, and it just really made me want to read it again. And all of a sudden, hey, I have free time, so I read it. So it was just nice that Boom put that out. But again, that's a big color hardcover, $25. So
it's gorgeous in it too.
Yeah. So if it's priced right, yes. And then I'm looking at these little Marvel like. X-Men Fantastic Four, four issues, $15.99 trade. You know, it's, you know, 80 pages. You
like
know, not...
Look at the Detective 1027 today.
Finally, but like Detective 1000 was a much thinner $10
book. No, but I mean, it's 144 pages. Yep. It was $10. And it, when that was the first thing I said when Tim handed it to me today. It's like, okay, this feels like a $10 book.
So, I mean, I just don't see it happening. And also, like, a lot of people are talking about the shift, you know, they're going to go to digital and then just print trades and stuff. It's like, you know what? I sell 110 copies of Batman. I don't see me selling 110 copies of the trades. I just don't see people transitioning
that
way.
No, I think people just drop off.
Right. And it's going to be a net loss for them. So,
well,
I just think,
take Tom King's run. It was hit and miss. But I don't want to hold... in my collection, so I'll stick
right.
with it and just kind of bear with it until it gets better. But if I'm buying trades, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. So I think that's one thing they forget, is just the collectible aspect and the... Not collectible, what's the word? I mean, that's part of it, the collectible aspect, but the completest aspect of it as well, which is just, you know...
The OCD that most comic
books right, that gives fans that
have.
Gives books inertia that keeps them
well,
getting them.
The only
them.
Reason I'm still reading Green Lantern.
Just to complete it.
Just because I've got like all the rest of the Green Lantern books for the past 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, I have like all the books going back from Geoff Johns run all the way through New 52, and there was a lot of that I didn't like, but it was just... Then and
just
then
to keep it going.
Rebirth happened and I liked it, and then I forget what it was. It kind of made me go, this just isn't good anymore. Mm-hmm. I finally dropped it.
So, now for fun. Something's made the news yesterday. Last week or so, might have been the week before, I received a book in the mail, just in a plain envelope, nondescript comic. It happens a lot. Small press guys send out stuff saying, hey, here's my book if you want to order. So this book comes in. The only note on it is just a real little slip saying, hey, if you like this, you can order it. They're $3 a piece. Email me here. No later than 9:13. Oh, okay. I open it up. I look at it. Art's fine. Nothing fancy. You know, not superhero-ish. Indie art. 8-page black and white. There's not, it's thick paper, but it's only 8 pages of story and then a little text piece. I'm like, that's a little much for my cost of $3 a piece. So that's going to be a book that's going to sell for $5 or $6. That's not a book, you know, nobody's paying $1 a page. So yesterday, news breaks. This is actually the very first Bad Idea comic. Written by Matt Kent, drawn by David Laffam. Go to your store and get it now. In stores now. Don't walk, run to your store to get your hands on one. Nobody has them. Nobody ordered them. What store was going to sit and order 20 copies of that?
Well, they did. their name says it all. It's a bad idea.
So, my problem with it is, so I have one copy. Matt just looked it up. They're selling for $300. Because they're rare, because nobody ordered them. But this puts me in a really bad frame of mind. So who gets this? I have a bunch of people that want all the bad idea books.
I'm one of them.
This is the first one. I have one. I can't get any more.
Raffle it off.
Right, but yeah. Now well, all I'm... I
the
had,
thing is, had they put bad idea on that,
right.
You could have waved it in front of my face, and I would have been like, oh, I'll take it.
But it actually isn't.
Because I flipped through the thing.
It has a publisher name on it.
And I didn't see bad idea. I didn't
No.
There is a brand mark on the back. What's it say?
You should have known.
Oh, buttoned up comics.
Because their whole thing is the button. Mm-hmm. So this has me in a very bad frame of mind regarding bad idea. Yeah.
Unless you're Columbo.
Yeah.
You're not going to pick up on that.
Well, but Colin there is.
Because there is. Colin's busy.
But there's no way
Columbo.
I would order 20 copies of that. To satisfy my, you know, at $3 a piece. So, here's $60. I hope this sells. As everybody opens up and goes, 8 pages?
But from the company's perspective, that's a really odd marketing ploy.
But here's my problem now. Is this how all their books are going to be?
Well, no. That's
8 pages black and white? I don't trust them now.
Yeah.
Plus, they gave you carpal tunnel, right?
Right. I pushed that damn button. But just this, I think, was a really bad way to go about this, and now you're making haves and have-nots. And their whole thing was they didn't want it to be collectible. Whatever I ordered of number one of their issues, I had to order for 2 through 6 because they didn't want us just feeding speculators and just selling one. They wanted us to sell the whole story.
Well, it's going to be easier if you only have one copy.
But now that they've done this to feed the speculators, it's like I don't understand what they're doing, and I might bow out. I might just say never mind.
That's an incredibly bad idea for them to not even slightly promote it a little bit. Like,
or send you
or
a bunch
you
of copies.
Give you a heads up.
Right. Yes. Send me 10 copies.
Give you a little bit more of an indicator.
They put the pressure on us to order something blind, having no idea what it is.
Well, and there's nothing on there that, on that little slip of paper, nothing on there.
Nothing. That's why I wanted to show you guys exactly what I got, just so you understand. That's why I didn't order them.
So these are professional company. These are professional writers and artists. That looks like it is a guy that did it out of his basement.
Well, and like people
and
said,
all he could afford was 8 pages.
Yeah, it looks like David Laffemart. Yes, it does. You know what? I don't carry his book. He does Stray Bullets. I had one guy getting it, and he stopped getting it, so I stopped carrying it. So it's not like his name is drawing. I'm sure he has his fans, but it wasn't enough to even cover his Stray Bullets.
But even in the back, you could have put hidden somewhere.
Yeah, but there's nothing.
But the problem is, like, why even do that? Why, like, that and the whole pushing the button thing? It seems like they're just making it really difficult to get their product and annoying to get their product.
Well, it'd be different if they'd been established and they'd been out for months and months. You know, kind of like when Kirkman just dropped the book and didn't tell anybody.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
that's
fine,
one way to do it.
Right.
But my problem over the last 2 days, I've had 20 calls for this. I've had people stop in. You know, what am I supposed to do?
Sell for $500.
Right, but I'm just saying you've put me in a bad situation now where I have to tell people, no, I don't have what they want. That's not what I want to do as a store.
No, you don't have to do that, though.
You know, the one thing I'll say,
sell it for what it's worth.
I had no idea that this existed until you showed it to
me. Okay, well, it just broke yesterday.
And I follow them on social media and stuff, but it is just noise.
Yeah.
They are so loud on social media that I pretty much ignore them.
Yeah.
Like, it's too much.
They didn't even, drop anything about this.
No hints or anything until yesterday. They said, oh, by the way, I think I got an email about it, but it was just one of those, oh, and you had to order it by the 13th. You can't order them now. Yeah. It's like... I don't know what to do with it. And like I said, I just don't trust them now.
Do you think they just spent all their publishing budget when they helped out the...
Maybe. I'm very tempted to send that money back and say, never mind. Thanks, but no thanks. Because
if this is the way you're going to do things, how do I even promote it, establish interest in it? Et cetera, et cetera.
Well, now you're locked in because that's number one. locked in. If you sell it to one person, you can only, no one's going to
Now this, well, this is going to be reprinted in a backup of, I think, ENIAC 1 or something like that. But I'm like, okay, so it's going to be 16 pages long now?
So okay, I just, I bet you it's not. I bet you that's it.
No, no, but ENIAC will be 8 pages, and then this will be the second 8 pages. Yeah. You know, maybe this will replace the Elmore Leonard quote, whatever. You know, I,
yeah,
I
they put, for those that haven't seen it, there's an Elmore Leonard 2-page
it's
spread.
A splash,
it's a splash page with an Elmore Leonard quote.
Yeah.
Which is
so
it very
just,
bizarre.
Yeah, it's just really a weird way to do it where none of your fans are getting what they want.
Yeah, but it's also just an eight-page promo. Like, it really isn't something that, like, I feel like, oh, I'm missing out on that.
No, but
I'm gonna get a chance to read it. Like, I don't know. It has us talking about it.
It does, but it doesn't do anything for
Colin or the company for you can't get it now.
For the guy that wants, they're asking me to spend my money on their books, I'm very leery right now.
But they're doing such crazy stuff, though. Who knows? You might get a box tomorrow that's got 150 of them.
Maybe. That would be great.
Right?
But
like,
yeah.
Hey, these are selling for $300. Here you go.
Yeah. But then, of course,
now
then
you're
they won't.
And then you're a hero. Well, you know, but they're doing a lot of stuff that's
they
just,
are.
Like,
but it's just, it, just a weird way, and it hasn't gone off real well. But, so, that's all I have for news. No, anybody else have any? No, Dave? You got nothing? The newsman's got nothing?
I got nothing.
Brandon! Why don't you start?
I read, like, hardly anything.
Well, then it'll be quick.
It will be. Let's see. This is good radio. I read Nightwing.
I read that.
Something.
Nightwing 74.
I read it.
Spencer, did you read that?
I did.
Okay, just checking.
So he's Dick Grayson again.
Yeah, that was.
Wasn't a great issue.
No,
it was very.
But that's just me.
Just hey, you're like it's. It was an abrupt start. I felt like because he was. That was not where I remember them being.
Yeah, no, that's how it ended.
No,
like,
it's
they,
ended.
Was it? Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Where he kind of like played
there was
it off
a thing
that Batgirl was going to blow up
the children's hospital.
And those two showed up in like.
Okay, because I didn't remember that at all. I was kind of like, wait, where are we? But yeah, so he turns coat on them, and then Batgirl gets the gem and fixes him up. So I don't know.
Well, no, the. His girlfriend had
the gem, yeah.
Yeah. And then she leaves Gotham because she hates Gotham.
But
which didn't even make any sense. Like, she just, you know.
Well, she knew that's where he'd be.
I don't know.
Well, they said that up in previous episodes or issues about her when she was going to Gotham to try to find him, how she, you know, that's why she's in Bloodhaven, because not liking.
Bye, Mike.
Not.
Yeah, I just.
My problem with the issue was the art. I had trouble with the art.
Okay.
It was just a little too rough and.
Yeah, I did not like the art.
That what kind of took me out of the story.
Okay, why do you like it?
Yeah,
that's fine.
I signed up for Nightwing now because I've been enjoying it.
I hope for a good going forward.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it'll probably get canceled.
I didn't love the art. And that the one at one point he lost his mask and then it was back on the next page. And I was like, okay.
I'm just glad they stopped calling him Dickie.
Oh
Boy.
I did not like Dickie Boy and.
I do not like. What's her name?
Punchline.
No. She's just, like, there in the background for noise, serving, like, zero purpose whatsoever.
You know, so the Joker said something about he should have, because Batgirl shows up and helps return Dick back to.
Yeah, she enters the battle. Yeah.
And
I thought she had her spine broken.
She got confused.
Oh, she got fixed. Okay.
But the Joker said something about he should have walked her off the edge of the building when he and that's my point. Why didn't he do that? Like, why did he leave her on the table? That made no sense. understanding it's the Joker, but it still made no sense.
I think we've got more Joker in the tie-in stories than in the actual Joker lore.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
See, I also read X-Force number 12.
I did not. It's in my pile.
Okay. Well, this one... So in the last issue, what's his name? Mikael? Colossus' brother. I think I'm saying his name right.
Mikael.
He has the Cerebro sword because his little gremlin thingies stabbed Kid Omega and pushed him through one of the gates, and he like shows up in Russia. So this starts off with Mikael grabbing the sword and grabbing Kid Omega and saying, I know you'll be reincarnated, but maybe you can do me some good. And he effectively, like, he drags him to the, basically the guy, or I guess it's more of a cult, that, like, was creating the monsters that, not monsters, but the, what are they calling them, Xenos? They're, like, they're mutant splice, like humans with mutant splice genes that earlier in the arc killed Professor X. So anyway,
okay.
We've learned, we learned who they are now. We know they're Russians. They're kind of a separate cult to Mikael, but he's working with them, and he gives them Kid Omega's body. So now they have, like, an Omega mutant that they could potentially, like, do the same thing that they did to Domino, where, like, they take her or her genetic material. So while all that's happening on Krakoa, they have taken and arrested Omega Red and and they actually went to the Savage Land to get Colossus, and they have basically, like, put them in their Krakoan chains, the plant handcuff kind of things, and seems like they're going to put him on trial, but it's like, because Mikael is acting against them, they have kind of turned on the two people who have, like, a relationship with them, which is a little weird with Omega Red, because if you're reading the Wolverine book, Omega Red is not on Krakoa, he's out with Dracula, so it's like a little confusing. But
like Dracula?
Dracula. Okay. Yeah. So because he's the big bad in that book, and it doesn't really make a ton of sense. Let's see, what else did I read? Bad Mother number 2.
I read that.
Yeah.
I like that I actually kinda understand what's going on a little bit now. Mm-hmm. Because I felt like at the end of the first issue I really had no idea. But we find out that the boyfriend of the girl that got kidnapped in the first book, he was working for some, I guess, drug dealers, but I think it's more than just drugs. I think they're into prostitution and trafficking and all this other stuff. But he stole some money from them, and as retribution, they kidnap his girlfriend and, you know, kill him. And mm-hmm. And now the mom of this girl who had been kidnapped is kind of putting everything together.
Because she had, while the kidnappers were there, she, like, texted her mom that she hates her. Like, I hate you, mom. Like,
yeah.
And then, like, it's like colon something. I can't remember what it was, but it was like, there's a couple characters at the end. And she texts her mom that, and her mom thinks she's mad at her in the first issue. And now we learn, no, that's actually the password to unlock her phone. And she hides it in the Tide Pods, which is where, you know, she knows her mom will look.
Yeah.
So even though she's, like, now in prison, she knows that her mom is, like, probably looking for her, and she's leaving clues for her.
Except the cop that the mom is working with is in on the whole
scam. That's the last page reveal.
So, no, it is... These AWA books, don't sleep on them, because they've all been really, really good.
Yeah. And this is one that's like Taken, or like, what was the one, Peppermint, with Ben Affleck's wife. Like, it's basically, it's a very similar like story, and it's set up like a movie, like in its pacing.
I would love for the mom to be like, I have a particular set of skills. Yeah. You know, washing, drying, laundry,
folding.
I can iron with the best of them.
Yeah, so that's it for me. I had a super light week. This week is crazy heavy, but...
Yeah. I read Empire Fallout, Fantastic Four.
I read that.
Which I really liked. Had some interesting changes for the future of the Marvel Universe.
Do you have to read everything to understand what's going on with it, though?
I think you had to read Empire.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, and Fantastic Four, because I didn't read the last issue of Fantastic Four, and I was a little bit lost. Some stuff that I'm guessing took place in that issue.
That's okay. I only read the last issue of Fantastic Four, and I was kind of lost.
Okay.
Fantastic Four and the Avengers are on the moon. The Kitati have surrendered. Who else is there? The Unseen.
Yes. He's back. So I'm excited that we're going to get Original Sin 2. The return of Executrix, or whatever her name was. No, but...
What about Captain Eyeball?
Yes, exactly. That's who's coming back.
About him. Oh, wow.
Which Nick Fury is it? Is it Black Nick Fury?
No, it's White Nick Fury, who was original. Banished to become the new Watcher.
Right.
But the other thing at the end.
Mike's just like...
What did you just say?
There's a
Nick Fury is the Watcher.
Fury is the Watcher.
They're trying to figure out...
Didn't you read Original Sin?
Yeah, that's like 10 years ago.
Come on, man.
Not quite that long, but that's actually, I think, the last...
Uatu the Watcher was killed, and somehow Nick Fury was involved, so the Watchers made him the new version of the Watcher on the moon.
There are these Kitati, staff weapons that Reed Richards is trying to figure out where they're from. So he calls in that...
the War Profiteer.
The Profiteer. And she says she's never seen them, never heard of them in her life. And then at the end, the Unseen holds one of them. And he finds out that it's from like the first race created these or something. And then his eyes light up. And Uatu, the Watcher, jumps out of his body, so Uatu is back.
Yes.
What happened to Nick Fury?
He's still there.
Is he Nick Fury, or is he...
No, I think he's still the mindless one, or whatever they call him, the Unseen.
This is the White Nick Fury?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Actually, he's not really the Unseen, he's only seen half of it.
Right. And then the two kids, the Kree and the Skrull kid, instead of being part of the Fantastic Four family, are assigned to Ben and Alicia.
So how's that not part of the Fantastic Four family?
Well, because Reed was like, we'll take you in, and he's like, no, I think they'll go with them. So
yeah, so
yeah, but that's pretty much the same
kind
thing.
Of,
yeah, they
but
live in the same place.
Yeah.
So Ben and Alicia have kids now.
This would have been a little hard.
The
other way.
Poor Alicia.
That's what she said.
Seriously.
He gets to be human for like a week now.
What, like Labor Day?
It takes a long weekend.
Yeah. They gave the whenever Hickman was writing it, they did a story where they created a serum that he took that, like, for, like, once a year for, like, a week or something like that, he turns back to normal Ben Grimm.
But hang on. Jermaine was all excited about something in it, and after I read it, I thought it was the Scooby-Doo line, but it wasn't.
There's a Scooby-Doo line?
The bad guys being led away and said something along the lines of... Exactly.
Kids.
But what he said is, so Slott's been teasing, and then when a Uatu comes back, says there will be a reckoning. And he says, Slott has been teasing Reckoning War since 2006 or earlier. She-Hulk 100 showed fallout from the Reckoning War in a time travel bit, but we never knew what the story was other than Watchers were involved. So, That's what that's totally leading that into. Wow. Yeah, so that's what that's.
Yeah, but they're
into.
Called watchers, not doers.
Next, I read Marvel's new Ultraman series.
I read that, Dave, and I was hoping you would read that.
I read that. Basically, the
thumbs up or thumbs down?
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up, yeah. Okay, cool.
Thumbs
yeah.
up. No, there was no real Ultraman. He doesn't show up till the very, yeah. very, very end, and it's not really even Ultraman. It's kind of like...
Hey,
it was on mute. I don't know why there was any noise. I understand. Thought I was clicking on a picture.
Dave was talking.
Back off. I'm sorry.
Well, thank God it was that, not two girls in one cup. Anyway, so... yeah, so like Ultraman was kind of like the spirit of Ultraman.
Yeah.
See you later, Matt.
See you,
and he passes along his power, but you don't actually see him. You know,
is it the Ultraman from the TV show?
Yes.
Oh, it's the same
yeah.
name.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
cool.
Same name of the guy.
Oh, okay.
In the United Science Patrol.
Yeah. What kind like? There'd be dialogue in there, and then parts of it would be redacted.
That was good. I like that. It builds some mystery. I thought
yeah,
that was interesting.
It does, except for Ultraman was a TV show in the 60s. So, and I like, you know, I watched it in reruns on like late night TV, but that's not a great way to hook an audience that,
yeah.
you know, for people younger who've never heard of Ultraman.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, probably should have given a little bit more. But, you know, there will be kaiju, and it should be fun.
Yeah, it was fun, and they had the flashback at the beginning to see how that fits in with the similar thing happening.
Mm-hmm.
And last one I'll mention are the Ice Cream Man Quarantine Comics special.
Now, what that was during the quarantine, the creators kept going and doing a web comic. Of Ice Cream Man type stories, and then afterwards they decided to put it all together and publish them.
Oh.
That's what that was. And that's why it has that name.
Some of the money helps the comic shop,
yeah.
so hopefully you
yeah.
get your cut.
Then they also sent us a silver foil thank you variant that I didn't look to see what they're selling for.
Yeah, so it's the original creators, and there's guest creators, like a dozen stories, 4 or 6 pages. Some good, real good stuff. There's a starts off with a story about Shakespeare writing King Lear during the plague, and there's an Adam and Eve story with the Ice Cream Man as the serpent. And my favorite story was there's a story called All the Mikes. It's about a convention of Mikes, of one guy and all the different versions of this guy Mike from Henderson, New Jersey throughout his life of...
It's like the Council of Kangs, but different?
Yeah. The Mike who... got in shape. The Mike who... Addict Mike. Sober Mike. So that was... So it was a good package put together for $6. And that's all I got. Pat.
Okay.
That's all you got?
I read some other.
I read one specifically for you.
I read it. I read that one to you. I'll let you have that one.
The other one I want to talk about is Resistance.
I read that.
So we're kind of figuring out what the Resistance is. In this issue, they during the plague or the pandemic or whatever. You had...
Bye, Tim.
The Russian army invaded Belarus under the pretense of reestablishing the Soviet Union, even if it's only going to be for 6 months until everybody's dead. And the Resistance is going to basically help mankind get rid of these types of governments that are just oppressing people. So, what they did was, their job was to fight let me take a step back. The Russians got the Belarusian army to essentially fall in line and saw the people that were, the Belarusian people that were protesting as dissidents, and they were going to crack down on them. So what the resistance did was like, we'll take care of the Russian army, we won't touch the Belarusian army, you need to liberate yourself. And, you know, ideally, the Belarusian army wouldn't kill their own men if the Russians were taken care of. So it, you know, kind of politically scary in these times, but it was actually a pretty decent book.
Yeah, the story's finally, like you were saying, it's coming kind of a bit more, like, clear and, like, where it might actually be going, you know, moving forward with the next series.
And there's supposed to be a spinoff, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think it was called Moths or something like that. Because it actually references it in that book, see Moths number 3.
Yeah, I was wondering about that.
And I'm like, well, hell, we haven't got Moths number 1 yet.
Yeah, I think they got quarantined.
Yeah.
Okay, Mike.
Oh, Jesus. I wasn't ready. Hold on.
Man, I told you I was only talking about one.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 109. Basically continues the story of what's happened in Mutant Town and how they're trying to build it up. One of the cool things is, like, they wanted to inform the rest of the people and see if there's other people out, like other mutants. So they build a kind of like a ham radio, local radio station to communicate with everybody. The one thing I thought was interesting was the little gray mutant person kissing the turtle.
Oh, yeah.
So there's, like, interspecies kind of romance going on and stuff.
Yeah, because they've had that, Jenica and Casey.
Well, they're not doing anything right now. This is actual.
But, yeah, because she's, like, smart like Donnie, and then so they're trying to put a school together, and they find out that the school is actually being, like, lived in by, some by like, a shark and some other animals, and that, you know, they were going to fight, but then once they found out that Donnie could help them get internet, they were, you know...
It was, everything's all cool.
Yeah. Oh, but yeah, because they, yeah, each turtle kind of had their nice, like, little story beat in this one. Donnie, or, Mikey, gets interviewed by this random, woman who just kind of shows up in nowhere.
She kind of, like, broke into Mutant Town, but you didn't know what her agenda was.
And then, what's Rafter on? Is he doing, did he do anything in this issue?
Was that the one where there was the, octopus head that was kind of falling?
No, that's, I think that was Leo.
Is it Leo?
Because he had, like, the scar over the eye.
Yeah, I don't remember.
And I think that's the reporter. Because it looked like they were wearing the same getup, and don't some octopus, don't they have, like, a camouflage or, like,
yeah, they can basically blend in with...
You're so clever.
That's what I was thinking.
But I liked it. It continues building what they're doing at Mutant Town.
Jenica's trying to put together a band.
Yeah, and then the porcupine person wanted to join the band, and she went kind of like berserk and like thought he was attacking her, and she kind of like beat him up.
She popped her claws.
Yeah, so to speak. So it was good. Flash 761, which is, was it part 2?
They might be part 3.
Yeah, part 3.
I think there's only like an issue or so left.
Yeah. So it was overall a pretty good issue, but I can't stand Scott Collins' artwork. And he's doing like a couple panels here and there, and it just does not fit with the other stuff.
And especially with it being like Porter for doing most of the...
But the whole issue, basically, they retcon where all the flashes were, and they kind of like bring them back to where they should be. And then ultimately... Literally, there's every single speedster, every Flash person that ever was is actually in the issue.
And, like, you did a good job, too, because, like, I'm like, oh, this is cool, but I'm like, but Wally's not here. And then they do a cool thing, they do a cool thing with Wally.
Yeah.
That, kind of ties in with, like, the death metal kind of stuff. And him having, like, the Dr. Manhattan kind of powers.
Yeah, but ultimately it has, he gets out of Wally, or he gets out of Barry's body,
I can't say his name
wrong. Eobon.
Thank you. Gets out of his body, and everybody realizes that things are going not the way they're supposed to. So they kind of like say, you know, you're on your own, dude. And then basically towards the end, they have Barry going after him, like, I'm saying I'm going to kill you.
But then because Eobon is, like, plucking villains from, like, different timelines and all over the place to fight all the different speedsters. And in this issue, we're shown that Reverse Flash has been, like, throughout this whole series has been, like, a nagging voice in, like, the back of Barry's mind, like, of, like, to kind of explain the way he's been acting throughout this whole series, not quite like Barry Allen, and been doing the thing with the other speedsters, and that's actually he's the reason why whenever Wally accidentally killed those heroes in Crisis and didn't tell anybody, it was because Thawne was whispering in the back of his ear saying, like, nobody would believe you, causing him to, you know, do all this stuff. But it's clearly a retcon, but I still think it's done well enough.
It had Impulse in it, had Jay Garrick in it, had Max Mercury in it, so it was all very cool. So I'm enjoying it. It's going to be interesting to see where the next storyline goes with the new writer and creative team. That's all I got.
Amazing Spider-Man 48. So, the majority of this issue is Spider-Man talking to all the other different spider people, because, in the previous issue, Sin Eater is going after Norman Osborn, try to cleanse him or whatever it is that he's doing to people, and, Peter wants to stop him from trying to do that, but everybody else is like, hey, maybe you should just let him do it. What's, you know, it seems that, like, whenever he's doing this to people, you know, they come back and they're better, nicer people. Like, why don't you just let him do it? Like, and, but Peter can't let that happen, and, so he has to fight a mob of people to try to get to save Osborn. And at the end of the issue, it seems like all the other spider people, like Miles and Gwen and the different Spider-Woman and stuff are coming together to, it looks like, to, like, go against him to stop him. So it should be interesting to where that goes forward. And then Batman and the Outsiders 16. I think this is the last issue of the series. It seemed
because it ended
everything, but it also had, like, at the back on the last page, it has next Batman, you know, or, like, and the Outsiders or something like that. And so, but I know that it's ending. If it's not, there's only one more. So I don't know if they're doing, like, an epilogue kind of issue to, like, you know, to kind of tie things up. But they stop Ra's al Ghul.
Been the villain the entire run.
Yeah. Yeah. Not very outsidery, but I still like the series, even though that it had no minimal throw in it. But they're able to stop him. Black Lightning is able to, with his new enhanced powers, is able to stop him from using the device. They don't kill him or anything. He gets away, but, you know, Raj basically, you know, tells, you know, Black Lightning, like, hey, you've kind of made an enemy, you know. So he's like, I'm not gonna go away now that you've got in my way, you know. I'm gonna, you know, try to take care of you. But yeah, it ended up an alright end. Like I said, I would like to see the series go farther and, like, maybe incorporate some more of the new characters. But, like, I think, like, Brian Hill did a good job with all, like, this kind of version of the Outsiders. And that's it.
That's it. Okay, Dave, Ash and Thorn 5 was unexpectedly the last issue of this series.
Yeah. What issue number was it?
Five. Just the way the story had been going, it just kind of... Last issue had the big shock where her coach, or whatever, her assistant, mm-hmm. who told her that she had these great powers and was humanity's savior, went to the dark side and joined the bad guy. And she started cooking out of this cookbook these weapons to fight the bad guy. So then it starts off, and they're going to fight the bad guy. And they do. She throws a whole bunch of scones at it. And
say they're like suppositories.
Yeah, and he kind of blows up a little bit. And then it says, you know, I'm going to kill the whole world, yada, yada, yada. And no, you know, I'll trade myself if you'll let her go and leave them yeah. be. And it then spits out the assistant, and the assistant kind of realizes that she didn't mean anything to him. And then she jumped into the mouth, and it blew up at the end. It was just very sudden.
Yeah.
I thought there was, yeah, it, like... Yeah, I was really surprised that it was just over. Even just another issue, just to
do a little more. I had the same feeling. It was a bit too tidy.
Yeah.
The way it wrapped up.
Yeah. So, yeah. Not a glowing thumbs up on that one.
No.
Cyberpunk 2077 Trauma Team, number one. Now, it's a video game book, and normally I wouldn't read it, but I was intrigued. So I read it, and it's basically about this girl who is like an outer space medic, and they get called in to rescue people, and she and her team goes in to get this guy, and they're under attack, and she gets back, she's the only survivor, and she saved the client. So after rehabbing and everything and testing, she's enlisted to go out on another mission, and a lot of them are saying, you know, oh, okay, rookie. It's like, she's like, I'm not a rookie. And she goes out, and at one point she freezes because she's having flashbacks of what happened before. And then they get through, and they finally get to this person they're there to save. And I guess it's like, if you have a lot of money, you can call these people in to save you. But like the entire, like they had to go into this housing or this apartment building, and everybody's fighting them because they're trying to get to the guy that they're there to save. And when she gets down to it, it turns out that the guy there to save is the guy who wiped out her whole other team. So, but I can definitely see how it's a video game, and this is just giving a little more detail on the characters as opposed to just first person shooter type thing. This one was good. I know nobody else read it because I only got one copy and I had it at home all week. But it's called Stargazer, and it's a new one from, I believe, Mad Cave. And basically, it's about this girl and her friends and her younger brother, and long ago, they were out doing something, and you don't know if they took LSD or not. Like, the one kid, he had his, his backpack, but it turns out he swapped it with his brother's, and he reached in to get some food, and he's like, what's this? And it was LSD. And they all thought that this one, that the younger brother actually took some LSD, because he had these weird stories of alien abduction and all this stuff. And when they thought he was high, he jumped off this like water tower and broke his leg and was telling all these stories, and that's what caused it. Mom was really worried that he was, you know, what did he take? And they're like, no, it wasn't the LSD and everything. Well, then now it's years later and it's present time, and her life has fallen apart. The main character's life has all fallen apart, but she's kind of in charge of her brother, who's not quite right. And he's completely obsessed with stars and everything. And then he's like, fine, whatever, you know, you don't care about me. And he goes up onto the top of the water tower again. And then someone comes to the door to talk to her. And it's like, I'm afraid I have some bad news. And then they show in the very last pages him being beamed up from the top of this water tower to a ship. So, interesting. Mm-hmm. Web of Venom Wraith. This is continuing the Venom stuff, and this is Wraith, who I think first appeared in the original Annihilation story. And it turns out his dad was doing experiments trying to find light to counteract like the Venom symbiote darkness, and it didn't work, and his son was taken over by the dark. So it looks like he gave up his soul in exchange for this immortality, this power, and it's almost like he has like a Venom symbiote in him without them actually saying that. But so he's going off, he finds some information in his dad's lab, and he goes off to confront, I guess, Null. I haven't been reading all the Venom stuff, so I'm not. But he goes off to confront the main guy, and the main guy basically says, oh, you know, it's so cute, you're out here and everything, and basically rips the symbiote out of him and casts him adrift in the outer space. And he realizes he's going to die, and all of a sudden the light comes and comes through him, and now he's been accepted by the light, and he realizes that he has to warn Eddie Brock. And so he kind of appears in front of Eddie Brock, who he doesn't know, but just like this spectral thing that is not really there, to tell him that not only does he have to worry about Null and the dark symbiote stuff, there's also, he has to be worried, there's an equally powerful light that he has to, is going to have to fight as well. And then he dies. So I don't know if we're ever going to see the Wraith again. Did you read Avengers Empire Aftermath?
I did not.
Okay. This is just kind of the other part of it. And honestly, I read them back to back and they all kind of blurred. Mm. So I can't honestly tell you what is what. Although I think this one dealt a little bit more with Hulkling and his grandmother. And it turns out she had the opportunity to save his mom, but chose not to, and teleported away and letting her mom die when they lit the pyre. And it was Super Skrull said that, so he blames Super Skrull for killing his mom. And then he also banishes that other guy, Glory,
yeah,
the Kree super guy. So he's all mad at them. So, and it's looking like, you know, it's been prophesized things won't end up well. And he has a flash forward to him. It's everybody is taken out, like Captain Marvel's laying on the ground and everything, and it's Abigail Brand from S.W.O.R.D. has shown up, because she had a little confrontation with Captain Marvel, because she's like, I can't believe you knew that all this was going on the moon and hid it from us when we were Alpha Flight and compromised us because you guys all thought you were better. And so she quits Alpha Flight. So... And then the last one I read was Dark Knight's Metal Trinity Crisis.
I heard that.
Which I don't know what to make of that. As an individual issue, it made no sense. It was just really like issue 3A. It's Batman, Wonder Woman, and Superman, along with Jonah Hex, Swamp Thing, and Harley Quinn, go into Castle Bat trying to do something, and stuff happens. It's not at all what I thought it was going to be with them trying to find. And basically, they learn that they redid the crisis events and they didn't end the same. Because, like, they were going. It was weird. Like, Superman went into Final Crisis, and then just they were different. Something was different. It was really.
Yeah, they had to, like, collect, like, the crisis energy to reshape the universe.
Yeah,
because
she gets her power by crises, and that's why there's always crises, because it powers Perpetua.
Wouldn't it be crises?
And there were crises, and so they were going to try to stop the crises, but discovered that at the end of each crisis, now the bad guys won. And
in the Dark Multiverse, that makes sense.
Right. So, yeah. So it was just, it was weird. So
it looked pretty though.
Yeah, the art was good. It was Francis Manapul, so the art was good. But I didn't quite know what to make of it. But it was good. I mean, the art was good. Story was different. So that's all I read.
Alright. Well, what's coming out next week, Colin?
Next week we have Amazing Spider-Man 48. The damage replacements are coming. So if you didn't get one, which you probably didn't because most of them were damaged, they're coming. Autumnal is a new one from Vault that is getting some buzz. It's already sold out. But family, I think she lives in Chicago when things go bad. So she moves back to her native New England, to this small town, and realizes it's really creepy. Brooklyn Gladiator is one. I think this is from... Heavy Metal is trying to do a line of comics, and I think this is one of theirs. They have another one called Fishkill coming. Daredevil 22, moving that one right along. Doctor Doom is finally back. This is one I ordered in February. Yay. Finally coming back. Fantastic Four Antithesis number 2, the Neil Adams one, is coming. Hotline Miami Wildlife. I know this Mike is all over this one. It's
another, like something you
what did you
into.
Just say?
Hotline Miami Wildlife. Apparently it's a video game tie-in book.
Oh yeah, can I have 3?
Sure. I only ordered 2.
Damn.
Immortal She-Hulk number 1, which I guess is going to tell
is
some
Peter
more.
David?
I don't know. I think it's just a one-shot about when she was taken over by the what was their name? Not Chitauri. Whatever the bad guys were. Katati. There we go. That's close. Juggernaut number 1 is finally coming out, too.
Nothing can stop that book.
A miniseries. Maestro number 2 is coming. Miles to Go is a new one about, it's from Aftershock, about a girl who was like the best, a hitman until she was 13, and then she gave it up. And now she's older, a single mom, and someone has taken her kids, so she has to return to her life of killing people. Shadow Service number 2 is coming out. I really like number 1. That's from Vault. Spider-Man is back. The J.J. Abrams one. Number 4 is finally coming out that I ordered last October.
Was that last year?
Yeah, last October. And that's not COVID-related. That's just, yeah.
It was in delay before then.
Yeah. Unkindness of Ravens. This is from, I think, Boom? This is by Dan Panosian. I love his art. And it's about the Salem witch trials didn't take out all the witches, and those that survived formed this, like, little community and called themselves Ravens. So.
Nevermore.
Nevermore, correct. Venom 28, continuing that storyline. And then finally, we are getting... It is here. I know you were all giddy. X of Swords. Yes, X, Jermaine. X of Swords. Creation number 1.
Swords?
It's supposed to be 10 of Swords, because 10 of Swords is a tarot card or something. But I like calling it X of Swords. And
it's
now I'm just saying it to annoy him. So, but X of Swords Creation. So this event is finally kicking off.
Better be careful with that. We're going to lose our listener.
Or, yeah. we'll be down to 3.
We only have 3 listeners.
I don't know.
Well, you should. I mean,
don't you have stats on this?
No.
You well, serious?
No, he
serious.
Does have stats, but he actually has to look.
No, straight. They don't make sense. It's like, yeah, it's not straightforward. I've looked at it.
Because people ask me we're available. We're just available on iTunes.
We're available on iTunes. What also, the website. If you wanna, you can listen to it direct off the website. I have no idea how to get it up on Stitcher and stuff. Somebody helped me set it all up. So.
Just tell your smart speaker to. I want to
yes.
listen to Pittsburgh Comics.
There you go.
And then I'll go. Why?
Are you sure? Really? Oh,
actually, in your case, I don't think I can let you do that, Dave.
And then smoke starts coming out.
Are you gonna take that call?
Yeah. What am I gonna do?
Hey, I've been here for like 300. I have the right to do that.
So, So that's all we got. Website's Pittsburgh Comics. Facebook is Pittsburgh Comics. Twitter and Instagram are PGH Comics. Hoping to try to do book club in October. This month we're doing X-Books because of X of Swords. So double points on all X-Books.
I thought you were saying we were doing it for the New Mutants finally coming out. After
No. Is it still in theaters or did it get pulled yet?
I went to go see it last weekend to drive in, but it was sold out like 45 minutes.
Oh, really? Nice. Well, I think people are so bored they'll want to see anything. I haven't seen it, so I don't know that it's bad, but I'm just saying, I think.
But here's the thing. It was New Mutants' second feature was Deadpool.
Oh, that would be a nice mix, yeah.
Yeah.
Although that's kind of an odd combination, because you might say, okay, I'm going to take my kid to see the New Mutants. It's rated PG.
They'll be asleep on Deadpool, though. That's why I looked at it.
Yeah, then you get Deadpool and the strip club scene.
The kids are asleep by the second movie. So I think that's all we got. Pat!
That's a podcast.
We will talk at you next week. See ya.